Okay, we're starting here seven lines up on the bottom of Hey Amud Bet. Just as a background, again, coming into the daf, the Gemara here is searching both for the source of the fact that Aseh is Doche Lo Taseh. That's the first thing that the Gemara is trying to establish. The second thing the Gemara is now trying to establish is that Aseh Doche Lo Taseh does not only apply when you have a regular Lo Taseh, it even applies when you have a Lo Taseh, when you have a negative precept that involves a chiyuv karet, that we would still say that aseh is doche lo taseh. Just, the Gemara is going to play around with different options, and it did yesterday as well, in yesterday's daf, but the Gemara looks at the aseh, which is the aseh strong enough to overcome the lav? That's number one, and maybe sometimes we have a super aseh which can overcome a lav, even though normal aseh would not overcome the lav. And the same is true the other way around, which is sometimes the lav is so weak that we can overcome it, even though normally it would not be overcome, or the other way around. The lav is so strong that we can't overcome it. So the Gemara, in all these instances, is playing with both sides of the coin, which is both the aseh and the lo taseh, and trying to figure out when do we invoke the principle of aseh doche lo taseh, and when do we not, and when do we set it as a paradigm. In general, the Gemara will look at an example within the Torah Shebichtav as being something that is a paradigm. Except when we have Shnei Ketuvim Abayim Kechad, Shlosha Ketuvim Abayim Kechad, when you have the same principle repeated a number of times in the Torah, then we assume instead of it being the paradigm, it becomes the exception. So Gemara's underlying assumption here is if we find something that is a paradigm, we find where it happens, then we can extrapolate that to the Kol HaTorah Kula. Unless there's an exception in this scenario, which makes it inapplicable to other cases. So that's what the Gemara is doing here. The Gemara says, we have by Yibum, Aleha Aleha, which is the limud from Achotisha, and to Yibum, which says that in the face of Arayot, in the face of Karet, we will not let you override the issue of Karet to do the assay of Yibum. But underlying that is that you would have done it had you not had the Pasuk. Had I not had the Pasuk of, or the Gzer Shava of Aleha Aleha, I would have assumed that the Aseh of Yibum overrides the Lotaseh, the Karet of Achotisha. So that's what the Gemara is after now. It's searching for that paradigm that says that Aseh is Doche Lotaseh Sheba Karet, that I need the Gzer Shava in order to offset that. And that's what the Gemara says here. Tete mi Kibur Aveim. Kibur Aveim should be such an example. D'tanya, Yochol Yehei Kibur Aveim Doche Shabbat. You would think that Kibur Aveim will override Shabbat. Tamalomar ish imo vaviv tirau ved shabtotai tishmoru. So here you have a hekesh here, actually, in this pasuk, where the juxtaposition of Shabbat and Kibur Aveim, here really it's Hirat aviv imo, are in the same pasuk. Kuchem chayavim bikfodi. Everyone is subject to my rule or my kavod. The pasuk actually ends ani Hashem, which is actually the guiding factor here, which is, I am Hashem, everybody is responsible to me, everybody has to answer to me. So in this scenario where you have a choice of b'mikayim kibur aveim versus b'mikayim the word of Hashem to keep Shabbat, we say that Shabbat trumps over here because Hashem says, your parents are responsible to keep Shabbat, you're responsible to keep Shabbat, therefore if your parent tells you not to keep Shabbat, they're doing the wrong thing, and it overrides. So my love, what's the case here? What is the case that the parent asked the child to do? Damerle shchotli basheli said, shecht for me an animal, cook for me something, do a violation of one of the 39 melachot on Shabbat. We know that Shabbat involves, well, not only a chiyuv karet, but also chiyuv skila. It's a lav that has karet associated with it. And yet, what would we have thought? We would have thought that you listen to the parents. I need a specific pasuk to come and tell me, don't listen to the parents. Otherwise, what would have been our assumption? Go ahead and listen to the parents. That's what it says. V'taima dichtav rachmana et shabtotai tishmoru. It's only because of the hekesh of the pasuk that I say, don't listen to the parents. Halav hachi. Had it not been for the limud out of this pasuk, what would have been the default status? That doche. That it would have been doche. That our default understanding would be that you would have to listen to one's parents, even in the face of violation of Shabbat. I need a specific limud in the pasuk to teach me, don't think that way. The fact that I need a limud to teach me, don't think that way, that means that the default is, aseh, doche lo taseh. The aseh of kibur aveim overrides the lo taseh of Shabbat, even though it involves karet. Gemara says, no. Who says it has to be involved in a case where the parents ask them to do shchita bishul? Maybe it's a case, lav de mechamer. It's a case where he asked him to drive the donkey. The lav de mechamer comes out of the pasuk of lo tasekum alacha ta uvrem techa. So there's a requirement not to do work with the behema. Included in that restriction is the driving of an animal. So the driving of an animal is a plain lav. It's not a lav that involves karet. So in that scenario, we already established that an aseh is docha lo taseh when you have a plain lav. So now I have kibud aveim versus a regular lav. You would have thought kibud aveim overrides. Along comes the pasuk and says, no, when kibud aveim goes up against a Torah principle, then we say ani Hashem, that Hashem governs, and we listen to Hashem, meaning that both of you are chayav bichvodi, and your parents can't insist that you violate a precept of the Torah. It says, v'hilu hachi lo dochi, and even so, it's not doche. Ela dekaimelon da'ate asei v'dochi lo taseh. Wait a minute, now we had a principle that we established before, that an asei is docha regular lo taseh, ligamar mihacha delo litche. Let this be a paradigm in the opposite direction. Now I have a regular assay, kibud aveim. I have a lot assay, regular dot assay of lav dimichamer, driving an animal on Shabbat. And I say, the default would have been assay doche lot assay. Along comes the pasuk and tells me, no, we don't do that. So what that would that imply? It implies that it's undermining the whole principle of assay doche lot assay. Let us say that assay is not doche lot assay in all cases. This will become the paradigm by which we will learn, instead of the paradigm being tzitzit and kilayim, which says asei is doche lo taseh, this will be the paradigm that says that asei is not doche and a lo taseh. V'chei teima, what are you going to say? Shani lave de Shabbat de chamire. No, the reason here it's not doche is because Shabbat is such a high level of isur. Even the plain lavim of Shabbat are so important that's why the asei over here cannot override. We're raising the bar of the lav here in Shabbat and saying maybe the reason the assay doesn't overcome it is because the lav is too high a level. Why is that? Because someone who is not Shomer Shabbat is Ke'oved Kochavim. He gets a status like Oved Avodah Zarah. Someone's not Shomer Shabbat, Estam Yenam, all the dinim that apply to an Avodah Zarah, the person who violates Shabbat Verhesya is granted all of those status. I mean, it's not a pleasant status, but he's given that status within the halacha. So you see that Shabbat takes on an additional level of isur. And maybe the reason the assay here does not work is not because it's a regular lav, it's because it's a super lav. Why is it a super lav? Because it's associated with Shabbat. Mar says, you can't say that. The Tana is talking in general and doesn't ask this question, which is, now, what's that? The Danya. We have a Braita. Yochol amar lo aviv hitamei. His father tells him, go and become Tamei. We're talking about a Kohen. Kohen from the father's side, right? He's a Kohen, and his father's a Kohen. His father says to him, go into the Beit HaKvarot and get me something from the Beit HaKvarot. It's time to become Tamei. Oh, Shamarlo Al-Tachzir. He finds an Aveda, and the father says, don't give it back. The Torah says, you have to give back an Aveda. The father says, don't. Yochol Ishmalo. You think maybe he should listen to him? Tamalomar Ish Imo Baviv Tiro. Bet Shabtotai Tishmoru. Kuchem chayavim bich vodi. So what does the Braita here do? The Braita takes the paradigm of Shabbat and applies it to other mitzvot. You could have argued, if you think that Shabbat is a super lav, then how could you apply a din that's found by Shabbat to Aveda, to Tuma, all these different areas? How could you apply it more broadly? So if that's the case, then you could have undermined it by saying Shabbat is a unique din. The fact that the Braita doesn't do that shows you that we don't think in that way. Shabbat's not unique in that way, and therefore, if it says asei doche lo taseh, then maybe this should be the paradigm that asei is not doche lo taseh. All right, so now Gemara says ela mishum deika lemifrach. You can undermine, you can take apart this asei doche lo taseh malhanach shekein hechsher mitzvah. The problem here is that these are a hechsher mitzvah. Right, machloket Rashi and basically all the other Rishonim as to what that means by hechsher mitzvah. Rashi says hechsher mitzvah. Not the typical hechsher mitzvah that you see in the Gemara. When you do the action, are you accomplishing through that action directly the mitzvah that you need? In the case here by kibud aveim and all these other cases, it's the person is violating the mitzvah and that's their only option. The only way to be mikayim kibud avim in this situation is to do the violation that the parents ask them. That's the only way you're going to accomplish it. So in that case, we say that the assay is not docha the lotasim. But in scenarios where you have another option, which is basically I could accomplish the mitzvah without violating it. And so what they suggest here, Rashi suggests here, is Yibum is different. Yibum actually has two options. Yibum has an option of Yibum, but also has an option of Chalitza. So since there is an equal option here between Yibum and Chalitza, then we're going to say opt for the Chalitza and don't do the Yibum. That way I don't come into a conflict and the mitzvah at hand. That's the way Rashi explains it over here. Rashi says, okay, you know what? You did a great job here. You figured out that asay is doka lotase shel karet. Why? Because I can't say it's a lav de mechamer. If I say it's a lav de mechamer, I run into a problem with the din of Shabbat. Because then I'm saying to you, a regular asay of kibud aveim overrides a regular lav of mechamer. And I say, don't do that, which would show me that asay is not doka lotase. I don't want that. That setting that precedent is a bad precedent. And I don't want that because then in the Kol HaTorah Kulah, I would not say asay docha lo tase. So we drop that. We go back to our original answer. What are we talking about here? Shkotli b'sholli. A case where he says, do a real malacha for me. A lav that has karet, and I can see from this, an asay is docha a lo tase of karet, except for the fact that the pasuk tells me, don't do that. Ah, if that's the case, I come over to Yibum, it should be the same thing. Rashi says, no, that's not the case. Why? Because the mitzvah of Yibum is different than the mitzvah of Shabbat. By the mitzvah of Shabbat, the only way to accomplish the kibud aveim is to do the isur of bishul, the isur of shechita, which would land you in a lotasei shel karet. If that's the case, it's then... It's also skila. It happens to be karet and skila. It's both. It depends. If he has eidim batra, it's skila. If no eidim batra, it's karet. It depends on the scenario. But you hear beer. So he has a lotasei of karet, and the assay is dochet. And we're going to say, you know what? You're right. In general, an assay... Docha lotase shel karet, but not here. By Yibum, I wouldn't have learned that. Why wouldn't I have learned that by Yibum? Yibum is a different type of scenario. By Yibum, I can have another option. I have the option to do chalitza and not to do Yibum. And therefore, why would I demand of you to do the asay of Yibum and violate the karet? Just do the chalitza and then you won't be in violation of the karet. That's the way Rashi learns the Gemara. Now that the Gemara has now gone back to its original solution and said that we're talking about a case of lotasei of karet, and we've actually proven now that an assay would be docha lotasei of karet, but the problem is that Yibum just doesn't fit into that scenario. Yibum doesn't fit into the scenario because the assay of Yibum isn't so strong. Why is the assay of Yibum not so strong? Because it has an alternative. It has the alternative of chalitza. So therefore, we wouldn't have assumed that the assay of Yibum runs over the lotasei of karet because I can do chalitza. Right, so that's what Tosfot asked your question. Tosfot says, what do you mean there's really an option here? There's an option for Chalitza. We know that Makom Yibum, Chalitza doesn't really exist. I mean that the way that the optimal solution is that Yibum first, that's the mitzvah. Chalitza is the less desirable of the two options as you're suggesting. Or the way Tosfot phrases is that the Makom Yibum ain't Chalitza. There is no Chalitza. This might have to do with what we spoke about before when we said, Kolo ole li Yibum ole li Chalitza. That was that principle that you have to have Yibum Chalitza. The way Rashi views it is that when you have a Zika, the connection between the brother who is supposed to perform Yibum and the woman waiting for the Yibum to be formed is called the Zika. They have a connection because of the deceased brother that passed away. There's this connection that exists. Rashi says that connection either can result in Yibum or Chalitza. The Zika is what exists. Now you have two ways to deal with it. You can deal with it through Chalitza, you can deal with it through Yibum. Right, so it seems, in a sense, right, Zika is the issue. How do I deal with Zika? Yibum or Chalitza? Or one is evidence of Zika. Like if you have Yibum, that's evidence there's a Zika there, it means there's also Chalitza there. That's the way we saw in Rashi. Tosafot, on the other hand, here is clearly saying that Chalitza is not evidence, Yibum or Chalitza is not evidence of the Zika, Yibum is the mitzvah. Chalitza is the antidote, or is the only way to unwind the Yibum if you don't perform Yidum. So in that case, then Yibum is really the primary issue. Chalitza exists because we've got to unwind the Yibum. But Chalitza is not really the alternative. It's just a way, if you don't perform Yibum, what you got to do to take care of it. So that's Tosafot's question on Rashi, and therefore Tosafot and many of the other Rishonim disagree with Rashi here. And they translate, or they explain, Hechsher Mitzvah over here like you do Kol HaTorah Kulah. What's a Hechsher Mitzvah in Kol HaTorah Kulah? A Hechsher Mitzvah is something that means I'm doing something to accomplish the mitzvah. I'm doing something that facilitates my ability to do the mitzvah. So what is that here? By kibud av ve'im, right? We're talking about a hechsher mitzvah. Why is it you would have thought the assay of kibud av ve'im overrides or doesn't override over here? Because kibud av ve'im is a unique scenario. So what Tosfot says is we remain with the answer that we're talking about the lav de mechamer. We're talking about a regular lo taseh on Shabbat of mechamer, of driving the animal. So that would imply here that an assay docha lo taseh normally, and then the Torah says don't do that. Which would say that we now have to extrapolate the whole Torah, no assay docha lo taseh. My says don't extrapolate. Why? Because this is unique. Our scenario is unique. Why is it here that assay is not docha lo taseh? It's because the assay that you're doing is too weak. Why is it too weak? Because the assay of kibud av ve'im in this case is only a hechsher mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah. Because what's the mitzvah of kibud av ve'im? The mitzvah of kibud av ve'im is the actual doing, giving the hanah to the parent. The hanah that you give to the parent, that's the mitzvah. When you do the other items, those are only hechsher mitzvah, which basically comes out, in a sense, you're accomplishing the mitzvah of kibud av ve'im later. When you do the violation of Shabbat, that's not necessarily the kiyum of the mitzvah of kibud av ve'im. That's only accomplished later on when you actually, the parent gets hana or you deliver something to the parent says, I want something to eat. So when you bring them the food, that's when you accomplish it. When you do the shechita, when you do the bishul, that in and of itself is not an accomplishment of the mitzvah kibud av ve'im. It's only a heksher mitzvah. So now what we've done, instead of saying, like according to Rashi, where we lifted up the lav again and we lifted up the assay and we said, yibum is weaker, the assay of yibum is weaker. The way that Tosafot and the Ramban and others learn it here is that here, the assay is too weak. The assay of kibud av ve'im is too weak to accomplish it. And that's why it works over here. The assay, we say no assay docha lo taseh, it's because the assay is too weak. It's a weaker form of assay versus the assay that you find by yibum, which is a full-fledged assay. And over there, maybe we would say assay docha lo taseh shel karet. Over here, we're saying assay is not docha lo taseh of karet. Or, I'm saying, assay is not docha lo taseh of a lav, a regular lav, is because the assay is not strong enough. The assay of kibud av ve'im is too weak. Now, Tosfot says you can't come up with manifestations of kibud av ve'im by where the actual action will be the kibud av ve'im immediately. Versus, you know, cases where there's a delayed effect in accomplishing kibud av ve'im. Rabbeinu Tam suggests over here, since the rove of the manifestations of kibud av ve'im are a case where there's a delayed, I'll call it delayed gratification, there's a delayed accomplishment of the mitzvah of kibud av ve'im, since a la robe, that's the scenario, therefore we're going to assume that kibud av ve'im is just a weaker assay. Even though there are cases where you can figure it out, nevertheless, the assay is so weak, and that's why it's not overcoming the lav here. So you can't set this as a paradigm for the kol ha-Torah kula, because this is a weak assay. Now, as an extension of this, the Ramban is very important over here, and the Ramban says there were two things that were stated in the Mishnah. Someone asked his son to do something. One was, don't give back the Aveda, which over there, the assumption is that he wants to keep the Aveda, it's an offer for him. The other one is, go into the Beit HaKvarot. The Kohen says to his son, go into Beit HaKvarot. Now, the Ramban says, if the father said to the child, go into the Beit HaKvarot, that's all he said to him, he doesn't have to listen. But, there must be the scenario here, is where he told the son to go get some fruits, or food that was in the Beit HaKvarot, and bring them back to him. Why is that? The Gemara in Kiddushim says that, what is the din of kibud av ve'im? Right, the Gemara will get into Mora later on. Mora, or yirat av ve'im, it's in things like you may not contradict one's parents in public, may not sit in their seat. Items that involved yirat, stand up when the parent comes in. Kavod, what is kavod? So the Gemara in Kiddushin gives you examples. It says, malbisho, right, marchitzo, machilo, mashkehu, you give him to eat, you give him to drink, you dress him, you bathe him. It has to be direct hana'at haguf. That is the place where kibud av ve'im applies. That's what the Ramban says over here. That unless there is hana to the parent directly, there is no din of kibud av ve'im. Therefore, if the parent simply tells you to go in, tell one to go into the Beit HaKvarot, there is no kibud av ve'im involved in that. To simply go into the Beit HaKvarot, there's no hana to guf that comes to the parents. There wouldn't even be a clash between kibud av ve'im and the Yisur. You don't have to listen. In a case where he has to bring the food from the Beit HaKvarot, that's when you have a clash, because there's hana to guf. Based on this, there are many tshuvot. Rav Avadia Yosef has numerous tshuvot that play on this in questions. For instance, to give you examples where he has this, there's a young man who is in a yeshiva ketana, and his parents want him to go to a yeshiva tichon. They want him to learn some secular studies. Does the child have to listen to the parent? So in the Tshuva, Rav Avadya Yosef says, no, he doesn't have to listen to the parents because there is no hanata guf in this case. There is no mitzvah of kibud avim just to simply listen to one's parents. That is not the mitzvah of kibud avim. Mitzvah of kibud avim, there's mora, and then there's kibud. Kibud only involves listening where you're doing something directly that's hana to the parent. Bring me a cup of water. Bring me the food. Things that are direct hana. Cases of simply listening to the parent, that is not the mitzvah of kibud avim, based on what we just established here, based on the Gemara in Kiddushim. Therefore, Rav Avadya Yosef says, where there's a higher goal here, where he can stay in Yeshiva Katana, learn Torah all day, for sure he doesn't have to listen to his parents. Another example, which is comes up often, is the year in Israel. That's right. The year, when you spend a year in Israel, and the child wants to stay a second year, doesn't want to come back, stay in Yeshiva. Again, then the parent says, you must come back. Is there a mitzvah kibud avim? Once again, Rav Avadya Yosef says there's no mitzvah over here because parents are not asking you to do something that's not a goof. They're simply asking you to listen to them. By cases of listening to them, you don't have to listen. Again, there's no absolute rule that you must listen to one's parents. You must listen to one's parents when it's kibud avim, when it's anata guf. Last case is where he brings it down. This is part of another tshuva. It's a broader tshuva, but a young girl wants to marry a man and the parents are not so hot on the shidduch. They don't want her to marry this young man. Anyway, it turns out that Rav Avadya Yosef says it's not the parents' business who the daughter marries. That she can marry whoever she chooses. Obviously, she should pick someone who is a good person, meaning that if the parents have valid claims, but over here it seems that the parents don't have such valid claims, therefore she does not have to listen to the parents. That it's really on the obligation of the parents to come around to what the daughter wants, rather than what the parents want. He gives a number of tshuvot that deal exactly with this topic, based on this Ramban right here, that says that kibud avim only applies by anata guf. It does not apply to simply listening to one's parents. So my advice in all these situations is that probably should get a third party involved. Third party that's respected and well-respected, because obviously children make foolish decisions in their lives. I mean that sometimes the instruction of the parents is not because the mitzvah of kibud avim, it's just because the parents are looking out for the best interests of the child, and many times the child can't see what are in the best interests of the child. That's why it always involving a third party is important. I mean, a third party that understands the positions that can make a good halachic decision in this case, then it's important to involve that third party. Not, again, not because of the mitzvah of kibud avim, but more importantly, because many times, right, youth is wasted on the young, right? So that their desire and all their kochot and they're going somewhere, sometimes they don't see the whole picture. And that's what parents sometimes provide, is the whole picture rather than the narrow scope of the decision right now. But again, in the end, it may not have to do with kibud avim, it may have to do with good judgment. And that parents sometimes just, it's not always. Sometimes parents make mistakes, and sometimes they don't have the right view. That's why it's good to involve third party, but the parents generally have better judgment than the child, and in that situation, it's worth listening to the parent, or at least considering what the parents say, because of the judgment aspect, but not because of the kibud of the aim aspect. So Ella Gemara says, Ella salka dat chamina teite mi binyan beit hamikdash. Now we go back to reset. Okay, according to the Ramban, the Tosafot, we can't learn from here, because number one, we're not talking about an assay docha lotase of karet. Number two is we're talking about an assay docha a regular lotase, but the assay is even strong enough here to deal with this. So fine, that's out of the picture. According to Rashi, we have a paradigm of assay docha lotase of karet. The only problem is Yibum doesn't match that. Yibum is a problem because Yibum's not similar to this. So that we're going to go to Tetim Binyan Beit Mikdash Titania. Ever bright to Yochoy Binyan Beit Mikdash Doche Shabbat. I would think that the building of the Beit HaMikdash is Doche Shabbat. Tamal Omar, Et Shabtotai Tishmoru, U'Mikdashi Tirou. So it says, the juxtaposition again, this is a Hakesh in the same Pasuk, you find Shmirat Shabbat up against Yirat HaMikdash. Kuchem Chayavim Bichvodi. Again, you're all Chayavim my Kavod, and therefore, Binyan Beit HaMikdash does not override Shabbat. So my love, Bibone V'Soter, you're dealing with one of the 39 Melachot, which involves a Lotus Sheyesh Bo Karet. And yet we say over here, Asay would have been Doche Lotase had it not been for the Hekesh in the Pasuk. Asay of building the Mikdash would override the Shabbat, which is the Lotase of Karei, had it not been for the Hekesh that's found in the Pasuk of Shabtutai Tishmoru v'Mikdashi Tiro. But time of Dichtav Rachman et Shabtutai Tishmoru, alav hochi dochi, it would have worked. One says, lo, lav de Mechamer. Again, the Gemara jumps down to Mechamer and says, we're talking about the lav de Mechamer, we're not talking about a Lotase Shabbat Karei. So feel hochi lo dochi. Same question we had before. If you're going to drop it down to a regular lav, Now we have a paradigm that Aseh is not Tocheh a regular Lot Aseh in the Torah. Now I should extrapolate from this to the rest of the Torah. What are you going to say that? The reason here Aseh is not Tocheh Lot Aseh is because Shabbat is such a significant lav. That's why it doesn't overcome it. We have an example, not in this case, but in the case of Kibbutz Avim, where the Braita is willing to extrapolate from Shabbat to other Lavim and never invokes this problem of Shabbat is too chamur to learn from. You think maybe you have to listen to him. So that there is this extrapolation. We have kuchem chayavim bichvodi, and we don't say Shabbat is too chamur. Ela mishum deikel mifrach. Malhanach shekein hekshir mitzvah. So again, you can answer here that it's extra mitzvah. According to Rashi, what does that mean that it's extra mitzvah over here? You could go back to the fact that it is an isur karet that's involved here. We're talking about bone v'soter. That's the only way to build the mikdash, is to be bone. That's all. There's no other choice. Yibum, you have a choice of chalitza and yibum. According to the Balei Tosfot and the Ramban, it's very important, which is binyan beit mikdash is only an extra mitzvah. It's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is not to build the mikdash. Right. Well, that's a question. What the final mitzvah? Is it to basuli mikdash v'shachanti bitocham? Is the building the mikdash to facilitate the presence of the Shekhinah? And that's why you have to build it. So it's the extra mitzvah that way. Or is the extra mitzvah that to the avoda that will facilitate the hashrat Shekhinah? But either way, the building of the mikdash itself is the extra mitzvah versus yibum, where there is a direct mitzvah according to the Tosfot and the Ramban. So Tosfot asks your question, says that all the examples the Gemara brings here are Tumat HaKohen, Shabbat HaVeda, Tumat HaKohen, and Shabbat, all which involve an Aseh and a Lot Aseh. They all involved an Aseh and Lot Aseh, and we know that an Aseh is Doche a regular Lot Aseh, but it's not Doche a Lot Aseh and Aseh. So he says, Tosfot asks, why doesn't the Gemara ask that question? Forget about all these other reasons. The whole reason that everything fails over here is because you have an Aseh and a Lot Aseh on the other side. So Tosfot in the end says that after the Pasuk rejects Kibbutz Avim, Kibbutz Avim we thought was a super Aseh. Why is it a super Aseh? Because there's a hekesh between Kavod Shamayim and Kavod Horim. The Gemara in Kiddushin tells us that Shem and the parents are put in the same category. And the Gemara says it's a good thing because Shlosham Shutafim. There are three partners in the making of a child, the Shem and the two parents. And therefore, the Kavod Kono and Kavod Horim are in the same category. So you would have thought that the Aseh of Kibbutz Avim is a super Aseh. It's a super Aseh that's going to overcome other things, including Lavim and Shabbat, including other areas. Once the Gemara rejects that by saying that the Pasuk tells us the Aseh of Kibbutz Avim doesn't work, what it just did was, Tosfot says, it downgraded the Aseh. You're right, on the other side there's an Aseh and a Lot Aseh. But the whole Hava Mina to say that the Aseh of Kibbutz Avim overrides is because it has this superpower. As soon as we deflate that by saying that it's not overriding, and in the case of violation of Shabbat or any other thing, we have a Pasuk that says don't do it, they deflated that Aseh. Once we deflated the Aseh, then we're going to do that across the board. You're not going to go each time and say it's a super Aseh and then have to find a reason to deflate it. It's deflated. And that's what Tosfot says. The Limud and the Bright and all these things are basically the Kibbutz Avim has been deflated. Once it's been deflated, it's no longer relevant as being the super Aseh that can overcome things like an Aseh and a Lot Aseh and a Lot Aseh of Karet. And that's what the Limud of the Gemara is. Asking your question, but basically saying the Gemara is not focused on the Lot Aseh side of it, it's focused on the Aseh side of it, which is the Kibbutz Avim we thought was a mitzvah that was strong enough to overcome. The Gemara says no, and that means no in all cases. It means that the super Aseh categorization of Kibbutz Avim no longer exists, and that's why it fails in all of these situations. Not because there's a strong lav on the other side, not because there's a lav of Karet. It fails because we just said that even though it's a super Aseh in terms of being compared to Kavod Kono, it nevertheless doesn't have those powers that we thought it had. And once we've done that, there's nothing to talk about. It becomes like a regular Aseh, and then we can't overcome all these other situations where you have an Aseh Velot Aseh. All these things are now equally insurmountable because the Aseh doesn't have the power to overcome them. All right, now, the Gemara says, okay, wait, Hekshir Mitzvah again, typically Me'otam. Hekshir Mitzvah, now you have two things that are telling me in the same din of Hekshir Mitzvah. You have the din by Shabbat, and you have the din by Mikdash. So why do I need two times to tell me the same din? So Gemara says, you're right. You're going to learn it from them. Then what do I need the second hekesh for? If the first hekesh tells me the case of hekshir mitzvah, okay, according to the Ramban and Tosafot, that means that these are only hekshir mitzvah, and therefore an aseh is not docha lo taseh. According to Rashi, this is an aseh docha lo taseh and is rejected, but it can't be extrapolated to yibum because yibum has a different Then I say docha lo tasei shebo shebo karet, but I can't extrapolate it to Yibum because Yibum has an option of chalitza. But now, what do I do with this hekesh between Shabbat and Mikdash? That teaches me this, which is, we need it for this braita. You would think that the person, yirat ha-mikdash, you have to be afraid of the mikdash. Tamalomar et shabtotai tishmoru. You have to keep Shabbat. Vet mikdashai tiro, and you have to fear the mikdash. Nemra shmira b'shabbat, nemra mora b'mikdash. It says shmira b'shabbat, you have to keep Shabbat, you have to desist from halacha. It also says that you have to fear the mikdash. Mashmira mora b'shabbat, by Shabbat. Lo mi Shabbat atamichere. You're not afraid of Shabbat itself. Alamisha, he's here on Shabbat. It all has to do with the one who warned the Shabbat. The reason to desist from Malacha is the acknowledgement of Hashem. It's not that you're afraid of Shabbat. You're afraid of Hashem. I mean, not afraid of Hashem, but you are keeping or desisting from Malacha to acknowledge that Hashem is the ruler. So to over here, af mura amura b'migdash, lo b'migdash atayere, ela mimisha is here ala migdash. It's not that you're afraid of the migdash. You have to be afraid of the one who imbued the Mikdash with its Kiddusha. Now, it's interesting, if you look in Tosafot, the top Tosafot, he says, Gabi Aviv, lo yetzroch lomarkein. There's also yirat of a parents. How come the Gemara doesn't say the same limud over there? Why is yirat a parents compared to Shabbat? To tell you, just like by Shabbat you have to fear Hashem, so too by the fear of parents, you have to fear Hashem and not the parents. Because he says, b'shita shelo yishtachavelo l'shem elahut. Nobody's going to bow down to their parents calling them a god. That's not a mistake that you're going to make. About Gebe Mikdash, Itzrich, Mishum Davi Davar Shibikdusha. Something that's imbued with Kedusha, and people easily make a mistake of the medium becoming the end rather than a medium to Hashem. Says that, right, that's the Rambam describes the problem of Avodah Zarah. How Avodah Zarah developed was that people mixed up the mediums with the end. So it's over here. That's an explainable or understandable mistake, which is someone would take Yirat the Mikdash, and apply it to the Mikdash itself rather than to the end goal, which is Hashem. By parents, by human beings, people are not going to make that mistake and say, oh, my parent is a god. And therefore, I'm going to make the mistake of worshiping my parents rather than the Kodesh Baruch Hu. I might have answered slightly different than Tosafot. I would have just said that Yirat Av and Kavod Av, like we said before, is compared to Kavod Kono and Yirat Kono. I mean, they derive from the same place, which is a Hakarat HaTov with the three Shutafim that are involved here. That Yirat to parents is the equivalent of Yirat Shamayim, and the Kavod to the parents is the equivalent of Kavod to Shamayim, and therefore the two are connected. And therefore you won't make the mistake to separate them out. By Mikdash, you see it's almost like a discrete object that is used in Avodat Hashem. There you could make a mistake. So that's why we need this here. Then the Gemara comes back and says, Ve'ezuhu Mora Mikdash. What is Mora Mikdash? What does it mean to have fear of the Mikdash? So, Lo Yikanes Adam Barabait B'maklo. Can't go on there with your walking stick, your staff, biminalo, with your shoes on, bipundato, and with your wallet, or it's really your money belt, or the belt that your gartel, that you put around your waist, ubaavak shal gabe raglav, and the dust that's on your feet, I mean, you have to have your feet be clean, lo yasenu kapandria, and you're not allowed to make it into a shortcut to cut through. This is a din, the Gemara in Brachot, which also applies to Beit Knesset, and one is not allowed to make a shortcut. It also applies to the mitzvah of Sukkah, in Yana Dioma. You're not allowed to use your sukkah as a kapandria. If you need to get to your backyard, and the only way to get there, you go through the sukkah to get there, you're not allowed to do that. To cut through the sukkah to get there, you have to go around. It can't be used as a kapandria. The mitzvah applies to places of Kedusha, like a Beit Knesset, a sukkah. Right, if there's no other way, then you have to deal with it. You might have to sit there for a little bit, do something. Right, you have to do something on the way out to the backyard, take a little nap, whatever it is. But it applies to sukkah, Beit Knesset, to Beit HaMikdash. You can't make it to kapandria. Virikika mikal v'chomer, and spitting from a kal v'chomer. This is when spitting was considered to be acceptable 60 years ago when they used to have spittoons in the shuls. I mean that when spitting was considered to be a acceptable norm. So then spitting also is not acceptable in the mikdash. It's a kal v'chomer for dover mos, something that's disgusting that we don't allow. So that's a kal v'chomer. V'ein le'el b'zman shebeit the mikdash kayam. That's only true when the mikdash is extant. Even when the Beit Mikdash is Bechur Bano, how do I know? Tamalomar, Shabtotai Tishmoro, Mikdashi Tiro. Mashmira Amura Shabbat, the old Am, just like Shmirat Shabbat, is not something that is governed by the fact that the Mikdash is here or not here. Af Mura Amura Mikdash, Le Olam. Mura Mikdash extends forever. Meaning that even without the Binyan being there, the Makoma Mikdash has that same rule. And therefore there is Mura Mikdash, even when the Mikdash is not extant. if one is to go up there today, they would have the same rules of Mora Mikdash if they would go in there, if you can, and all the other factors that involve, that Mora Mikdash would apply in those cases. You can't go up with the items that are mentioned here. I'll just note, I'm not going to get into it, I think I mentioned in the Gemara Brachot as well, that it's very interesting to note that the three things here that are involved in Mora Mikdash are the three things that when they were leaving Mitzrayim and they did the Korban of Pesach, that night Hashem instructs them, you must eat the Korban Pesach, and this is what you have to do. What? Maklechem biyadchem, nalechem biraglechem, umatnechem chagurim. So those are the three things you're not allowed to do when you go up to the Mikdash. The three things they must have done when they ate the Korban of Pesach in Mitzrayim. Something to think about. There's a nice shir on that, but you should just note, it's something that people don't usually connect. But the three things that are involved in Mora Mikdash are the three things that are demanded when you do the Korban of Pesach in Mitzrayim. All right, so now we got to the point where we don't have an asei doche lo tasei shel karet or a paradigm for that. Either according to Tosafot and the, according to Tosafot and the Ramban and other Rishonim is because they are all the examples we brought so far of an asei doche lo tasei shel karet are heksher mitzvah. They're not a real mitzvah, and that's why the asei overcame the lo tasei of karet. According to Rashi, because Yibum has options in it. Yibum has options in it. The asei of a Yibum is not as strong as the asei that you're giving examples of over here, and therefore we don't have it. Ella, Sakadat Chamina Tete Me Havara. We're going to learn it out of Havara by Shabbat. The Tana de Bei Rabbi Shmuel, Lo Tovaru Esh Bechol Moshvoteichem Biyom HaShabbat. You may not kindle fire anywhere that you live on Shabbat. Ma Tam Alomar. Why do you have a pasuk that delineates specifies the mitzvah or the Isur of Havara on Shabbat when you don't have that by any of the other 39 melachot? Why is it singled out in the psukim to be mentioned? So Mar says, Matam Olomar, what do you mean? We have a bachloke tanaim as to why that is. Ilu Rabbi Yossi lelav, ilu Rabbi Notan lechalik. Detanya, we have a braita. Havara lelav yotzta, tivrei Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says the reason that Havara was singled out is because it's different than the other 38 melachot. This melacha is only a regular Isur lav. It's not a lav, sheyesh bo karet and skila. All the other 38 melachot are subject to the rules of Shabbat, kol melacha, lo tasu, if you do it, then you get karet or you get skila. Over here, by the lav of Averat, it's only a regular lav, you get makot for it. Rabbi Natan omer lechalek, it is lechalek. Rashi says something very interesting over here, it's not the classic sense of lechalek. Rashi says, you would have thought that you have to do all 39 melachot before you chayav and Shabbat. Avar comes to lechalek to tell you that's not the case, that each melacha stands independently and you can be chayav for each melacha. That's not the classic way that we learn lechalek yatzat. Rather, lechalek yatzat is that I would have thought that if you did multiple melachot on Shabbat, I'd only be chayav once. Meaning that if I do multiple melachot, it all stems from one iser of lo tasek hol melacha. So therefore, if a person be shogeg, obviously b'mezid, it's not going to matter. He's dead either way. So it's not going to matter, you know, if he does multiple, then maybe let's say yidei shamayim. But in a case we did a bishogeg, unintentionally violates a number of melachot on Shabbat, how many korbanot, chataot, does he have to bring? You would have thought it all stems from lo tasei melacha, you don't have to bring one. But Chalek Yatzad tells you, no, that each melacha stands independently, and each one is a separate violation, and therefore you would bring a chatat for each one of them. That's what it means, Chalek Yatzad. That applies by Shabbat. It may not apply, probably does not apply to the melachot on Yom Tov. Since we're in Yom Tov now, there probably is no din of Chalek Yatzad by Yom Tov. And therefore, by Yom Tov, they are looked at as a unique, or they're under the same lav, and it's the lav of Lo Tasek Hol Melacha. Right? Vama Rova. Tana Moshavot Kakashile. Now, the problem in the Pasuk is not, why do we have a Pasuk that singles out Havara? We have a Pasuk that says, Mi Moshvotechem. Moshvot Matam Olomar. What do you need Moshavot for? Michde, Shabbat Chovat Agufi. Shabbat is a mitzvah, not that it's talui b'karka, not talui b'aretz, it's a mitzvah on the individual themselves. There's no limitation as to where the mitzvah that's a chovat aguf applies. Mitzvah that's liot b'aretz only apply in Eretz Yisrael. Whereas mitzvah that are talui b'guf, that are obligations upon the individual, apply anywhere. So over here, you would have no havamina that Shabbat should only be performed, or Shabbat should only be kept in Eretz Yisrael, not outside of Eretz Yisrael. So why do I need b'chol moshvotechem? Everywhere you live, you got to keep Shabbat. That would have been the default assumption that you keep Shabbat everywhere. Moshavot dichtav rachmana b'shabbat lamali. Why does it say moshavot over there? Mishom Rabbi Shmuel Amar Tamid Echad. The name of Rabbi Shmuel, one of the Talmidim, says, That person who is subject to a death penalty, he must be put to death. This is at the end of Sefer Devarim. We're talking about person who murders and therefore subject to a death penalty. Shomayani ben bechol ben b'shabbat. I would have thought that applies during a weekday, and it also applies on Shabbat. Meaning that if a person is deserving the death penalty and Beit Din has to carry out the execution, they can carry out the execution on a weekday. They can carry it out on Shabbat because you have an assay to put the person to death. Beit Din has an assay to do it, and you have the lota assay of Shabbat. Umani miyakayim michaleha mot yumat. Wait, if you do melachot on Shabbat, then you have michaleha mot yumat. Then a person is put to death. Bishar melachot chutz mimitzat Beit Din. That would only apply to melachot that are not done in the context of the assay that Beit Din is required to put someone to death. Oh, maybe I'll see it this way. Inu ela afilu mitat Beit Din. Maybe also mitat Beit Din is restricted on Shabbat. Umayim yikayim v'humat. What am I going to do with the pasuk that says Beit Din has to execute and put somebody to death? That's b'chol v'lo b'shabbat. That's limited to chol and not to Shabbat. The question is, which one's going to give over here? Is it the assay of Beit Din or is it the lota assay of Shabbat? Do we say the assay of Beit Din is the one that's stronger and therefore the lota assay of Shabbat is going to give and lota assay of Shabbat won't apply to meet that Beit Din, or the other way around? Do I say the lota assay of Shabbat is stronger and therefore the assay of Beit Din will not override Shabbat, will only be allowed to execute on Chol? Ela o, enu ela filu b'Shabbat. Or maybe the Gemara leaves it off, maybe even on Shabbat, which means that the final view of the Braita is maybe that assay of Beit Din should override Shabbat. Tamal omar, lo tvaru esh b'chol moshvotechem. This is in the end of Parshat Maaseh, where it talks about, again, the issue of murder. And over there it says, this din of putting a murderer to death, this will be to you, b'chol moshevotechem. Now I have a zereshava of sorts here, moshevotechem, moshevotechem. Ma moshevot amrim la'alan b'beit din, the one that's mentioned at the end of Sefer Bamidbar, moshevot there is referring to Beit Din. Up moshevot amrim kan b'beit din, moshevotechem here by lo tvaru esh also applies to Beit Din, meaning that even though it's moshevot, even though it's Beit Din, lo tvaru esh b'chol moshevotechem, you may not light a fire. Sevamar rachmano lo tvaru, and despite the fact that it's Beit Din, the Torah has a restriction, you may not do it. My love, Rabbi Natan here. Let us assume that it is Rabbi Natan who says it's lechalek yatzat, tamar lechalek yatzta, because in that case you would say that it's a lota say that involves a karet. So lota say that involves a karet. Now I had what? An assay of Beit Din trying to override a lota say of karet, and it comes along and says no go. Why no go? Because we have a pasuk that says no go. But had it not been for the pasuk, I would have said assay is doche, lota say should be karet. But time of dichlag rachmano lo tivaru halav alchi dochi, it would have worked. Man says, why do you have to say that? Lo, Rabbi Yossi, the brayta could be according to Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi who says that it is the lav yatzat. So now we're dealing with a regular assay docha lota. So of course that works, and that's why you need a pasuk to stop it. Man says, vitave nami Rabbi Yossi. Okay, let it be Rabbi Yossi. Now truly, the Gemara could ask over here, well, if that's the case, then this should become the paradigm that assay is not docha lota. Say, Gemara has a better question, which says, let it be Rabbi Yossi that havar is lav yatzat. Imadama Rabbi Yossi Havara Lalavyatsta, Havara graded ta. That's when we talk about regular Havara. Havara the Beit Din Bishop Tilahu. When Beit Din puts a person to death, they don't do it through burning. We were thinking that it was the Srefa, right? The Arba Mitot Beit Din, the Skila, Srefa, Hereg, Vehenek. You have four different types of Hereg. So you have Skila, stoning. You have Hereg and Henek. One is by the sword, right? And then there is Henek, which is by choking. There, the Gemara in Sanhedrin deals with how all these are done. That's when Srefa. So you're thinking Srefa is lo tvaru esh b'chol moshevotechem. You can't burn. But the Gemara in Sanhedrin describes to us that Srefa is not putting a person on a pyre. It's not burning them at the stake, right? It's taking that they heat molten lead. They heat up molten lead and then they pour it down the throat. And so it burns them internally. So that's it. So now you see what? The Beit Din is doing bishul. Heating up lead. Making it into molten lead. That's bishul. That's not havara. So even Rabbi Yossi, who says Avar is lav yatzot, over here, you're talking about a lota seishesh bo karet, because you're talking about bishul. Rami Rav Sheshit, mali bishul ptila, mali bishul smanim. What's the bishul that's done in the Mishkan? That's the cooking of the dyes, in order to dye the items. So too, the cooking of the ptila, the heating up of the lead, to make it into molten lead. There's no difference between them. So therefore, you're in violation of bishul, not violation of avaras. Even if it's Rabbi Yossi. Right, it's not specific to changing a status of food. It's changing the state of an item is bishul, not simply preparing food. It's called bishul. So over here, you have Bishul Smanim, which is making them ra'oi, to make them into dyes. Now here, Bishul Ptila, which is making molten lead, which you can then use to kill a person instead, or other items, whatever you need it for, right? But rather than in solid state. So Amar Rav Shimi Barashi, Aitana, Lo Mishum Da'at Yasei V'Dochi Lo Ta'asei. The reason here that we are worried about this thing, Asei V'Dochi Lo Ta'asei, Elo Mishum, D'maiti Mikal V'Chomer. It's actually coming out of a Kal V'Chomer. We thought the reason you need the Pasuk here to stop all of this limud is because Asei Docha Lo Tasei. And from that we would have learned that Asei is Docha Lo Tasei Sheyesh Bo Karet. Here you have Asei Beitin overriding Shabbat, except for the Pasuk that stops you. That would indicate that normally we would assume that Asei is Docha Lo Tasei Sheyesh Bo Karet, except for the fact that I have a Pasuk. So he says you got the whole thing backwards. You thought the assumption of the Bright is Asei Docha Lo Tasei Sheyesh Bo Karet and Pasuk stops you. No. The limud starts with a Kal V'Chomer. It's a logical argument, not a say docha lo tasei, and that's why I need the pasuk to stop the kal v'chomer. What's the kal v'chomer? V'achi kamar. Mani mikayem, mechalea mot yumat. It says, mechalea yomot yumat, b'shar melachot, chutz mi mitat beitin. Aval mitat beitin do'achya Shabbat. Mitat beitin would override Shabbat, mikal v'chomer. Ma avudashi chamura. Avuda, which is one of the highest forms of things that you can do. Nevertheless, because it's doche Shabbat, you see that. You're allowed to do avoda on Shabbat. You bring the korbanot musaf, korbanot tamid. They're brought on Shabbat. They violate Shabbat. Lighting of menorah. All these things that are done on Shabbat violate the Shabbat because avoda overrides Shabbat. Ritzicha, docha ata. Nevertheless, murder overcomes Shabbat, overcomes avoda. Now, murder here doesn't mean murdering overcomes avoda. It means here that beitin to execute a murderer overrides avoda. What's the case here? Shenemar, mi'im mizbechi tikachenu lamot. That a person that is by the mizbeach going to do avoda, a kohen is going to do avoda, Beitin can snatch him out and put him up, execute him for being a murderer. So you see here, in the face of a challenge between Beitin executing the individual and a kohen doing avoda, you would have thought avoda trumps. No! Beitin, execution trumps. So now it's just a transitive property. If Beitin's execution overrides avoda, and avoda overrides Shabbat, kal v'chomer, that an execution of Beit Din should override Shabbat. It's very similar to the Gemara in the beginning of Megillah on Daf Gimel, the same type of kal v'chomer that the Gemara uses over there. So, Ritzicha docha Shabbat, shenemar imim b'chizichi, tachichan lamot, Shabbat shenitcheit mipnei avoda, Shabbat that's subverted to avoda, enu din shetei ritzicha docha ata, certainly it should be subverted to ritzicha, meaning the execution of Beit Din. So then the Gemara says, okay, then what's the next logical step in the Braita? The Braita offered up different alternatives. It said, maybe it's this way, maybe it's that way. When you're dealing with an Asei Docha Lo Tasei, you can understand. You can say, is the Asei stronger? Or is the Lo Tasei stronger? Which one is stronger? And that's what the Braita is going back and forth between. Over here, now, okay, I understand the one side. The one side is the Kal V'Chomer, which is that execution to override Shabbat. What's the mitigating side, which says that Shabbat should not be overridden by Ritzicha, by Shabbat? So it says, Umay O'enu, Dekamar Achikamar, Kvurat Meit Mitzvah Tochiach. Right, Meit Mitzvah is the mitigating factor, which is Shodochet Avoda. When it comes to Meit Mitzvah, it overrides the Avoda. A Kohen has to become Tameh to take care of a Meit Mitzvah and may not perform Avoda. He has to give up the Avoda in order to take care of a Meit Mitzvah. Vein Docha Et Shabbat. And nevertheless, Meit Mitzvah does not apply on Shabbat. You don't bury a Meit Mitzvah on Shabbat, even though it's a Meit Mitzvah. So you see here, sometimes things that trump Avoda don't trump Shabbat. So that would be the mitigating side, which is, Meit Mitzvah trumps Avoda, but it doesn't trump Shabbat. So maybe execution should be in that category. It trumps Avoda, but it doesn't trump Shabbat. So Da'amar, Grat Meit Mitzvah Tidche Shabbat Mikal V'Chomer. Wait a minute. Let's go back again and say maybe even Meit Mitzvah should Doche Shabbat, like transitive property. Uma Avoda Shi Docha Ta Shabbat, Grat Meit Mitzvah Docha Ta, Mila Achoto, Shabbat Shinidcha Mipnei Avoda, Enu Din Shetek, Grat Meit Mitzvah Docha Ta. So now, that's what the Gemara's final step is. Okay, that's the mitigating sign to say I have an example of something that's not doche at the Shabbat. Even though it's doche at the vote, it's not doche Shabbat. The Baraita goes back and says, wait a minute. Maybe Meit Mitzvah itself should override Shabbat. Why? Meit Mitzvah overrides Avoda. How do I know that Meit Mitzvah overrides Avoda? From the word Achuto. Achuto is found by Nazir. By Nazir, it has the list of all the relatives he did not come to Meit to. The Gemara says, what do I need that for? It says, they're not allowed to come to Meit to anybody. And then it goes on and lists some names of relatives that he can't become Tamei. Why do I need the list of relatives if already it says, don't become Tamei to a mate? The Gemara learns from each of those that it overrides. It overrides a Nazir. It overrides a Kohen. It overrides a Kohen Gadol Nazir. All of these extra words come to teach you that Meit Mitzvah trumps a person who's not allowed to become Tamei, even if they have multiple reasons they shouldn't become Tamei. Even if they're a Nazir and they shouldn't become Tamei, Mei Mitzvah trumps. Even if they're a Nazir Kohen, where you have two reasons not to become Tamei, Mei Mitzvah trumps. Nazir Kohen Gadol, which is like a super Kohen, plus a Nazir still trumps. That's why Aviv, Imo, Achotol, Gemara learns it out from there. It's not as important. I'm just telling you what the limud is that the Gemara is talking about. Therefore, Mei Mitzvah overrides a Voda, and a Voda overrides Shabbat. The Gemara says, so Mei Mitzvah should override Shabbat. You assumed it didn't. Maybe it should. Maybe Mei Mitzvah should override Shabbat. Then it would be the same thing over here. Mei Mitzvah overrides Shabbat, and execution of Beit Din should override Shabbat. That's what's the answer. Tamar Lomar, Lo Tivaru. Lo Tivarish B'chol Mosh V'dim comes and shuts down this whole Kal V'chomer and says, no, Shabbat is too strong. Shabbat is too strong, and just because Avoda overrides Shabbat doesn't mean that something overrides Shabbat, overrides Avoda, automatically overrides Shabbat. Shabbat is, we're strengthening the love of Shabbat to the point where you can't just make assumptions. You can't make a Kal V'chomer. Just because Avoda overrides Shabbat doesn't mean that anything else is going to override Shabbat anymore, even if it overrides Avoda. So even though Mei Mitzvah overrides Avoda, even though execution of Beit Din overrides Avoda, that doesn't mean by definition it will override Shabbat, because Shabbat, Lo Tivaru Eish B'chol Mosh V'Otechem, tells you that we stuck, we break a block, and we say, no, execution of Beit Din doesn't work over here, and neither does Mei Mitzvah work in the face of Shabbat. Now, once you've done that, we don't have any proof that an Atzei is Docha Lo Sateh Seo Karet. The whole assumption had to do with a Kal V'chomer. The whole limud was a rejection of a Kal V'chomer, not a rejection of Atzei Docha Lo Sateh Seo Karet, and we're still left with the problem of a source. For Atzei Docha Lo Sateh She Yesh Bo Karet, which the Gemara will deal with. The Gemara also, which I'm stopping in the middle of the sugya here, will deal with the Havamina. When we originally thought it was Atzei Docha Lo Sateh, how do we move through the three stages of the Bright? We said, what? Is it that Atzei is strong, so strong of execution, that's what overrides? Then the second stage was, Lo Sateh of Shabbat is stronger. And then there's a third assumption, there ain't no El Shabbat. The Gemara wants to know, what was the O-A-No? What was the play back and forth? So that's what the Gemara is going to deal with next. Again, it's going to take its way through the daf, so I'm going to stop over here. 11 lines down on the top of Zayin Amud Aleph. Right.